This show is part of the RetroZap.com podcast network.
Well, hello there. This is Joey from the AnimaniCast, one of the many fine podcasts that you can find here on RetroZap.com. A couple weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to co-host a couple of Star Wars panels, once again over at Phoenix Fan Fusion, along with my buddies Jason Hunt from the Wampa's Lair podcast and Kyle Avery from the Star Wars The Saga Continues podcast. This was actually our fifth time working together on Star Wars panels at this convention, and we had a blast as always. In this panel, we talked about the future of Star Wars for 2019, and we had a lot to discuss. Just to name a few, there's The Mandalorian, a new season of Clone Wars, season 2 of Resistance, and of course, episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. There's no real spoilers discussed, just a lot of good fun speculation. We had a great turnout for this panel, as you'll hear, and we also had some really good questions as well at the end of the panel, but that's no surprise. Phoenix Fan Fusion has always been able to not only bring in some great celebrities and artists, but the people who attend are always courteous and welcoming, and it's always easy to have a great time. One note, at one point I heard somebody clapping to the side after I had mentioned a theory I had about Kylo Ren, and what I didn't realize was he wasn't clapping for me, but he was actually clapping for Emperor Palpatine, who had just entered the room, and behind him came Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, and even a few stormtroopers, and that's right, our panel was crashed by the 501st. Well, we really didn't know what to do or say about our surprise guests, so we just kept moving on, and eventually the Empire moved along, and if you listen carefully, you'll probably hear Darth Vader breathing in the background. It was awkward, but awesome at the same time. Well, without further ado, here's the future of Star Wars panel, which starts off with Kyle serenading the crowd to The Saga Begins.
Later, now he's just a small fry. He left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Woo! All right, let's go ahead. Thank you to all the people who were singing along.
That was the bonus you guys get for being here early. And now that that's done, hello there.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Future of Star Wars panel. Let's give it up for Star Wars. Woo! The one true saga out there.
None of this other stuff.
Well, we are excited to be talking about the future of Star Wars, and there is, in fact, so much to talk about.
Yes.
That we have just an hour to do it. So let's get right into it. Let's first start with our panelists, starting all the way over to my right.
Your singing songbird.
Yes.
The singing Kylo Ren.
Yes.
My name's Kyle Avery. I'm the host of Star Wars The Saga Continues, which is a Star Wars podcast where we talk about a lot of what we'll be talking about here today, just the future of Star Wars, the movies, and the future of the saga as a whole. So I've got business cards up here you can check out afterwards if you're interested in listening to the podcast. But yeah, that's me. And then we have...
My name is Jason Hunt. I'm one of the hosts of the Wampa's Lair podcast. We are not a news podcast. We're more of a discussion-based podcast. Sometimes we'll talk about the news. This panel will end up on our feed, most likely. So if you're interested or want to share this panel with somebody else, look it up on the Wampa's Lair. And I've also got business cards afterwards if you are curious about that.
All right. And
lastly...
Finally, I'm Joey. I'm not a host of a Star Wars podcast, but actually a host of an Animaniacs podcast. But
there's
I love Star Wars, and so I got a good combo of Animaniacs and Star Wars up here on my shirt, which, I do that. And before we get started, because we'll probably forget it later, if you do like our panel, this is our fifth year here at
Phoenix Comic, yes.
Comic whatever.
yeah. Fan Fusion.
If you like us, if you like what you hear and see, you can go on the app and rate us 5 stars. And heck, as long as you're there, rate my Animaniacs panel 5 stars from this morning, too. Even though you probably weren't there, trust me, it was great. You'll love it. Anyway, let's go ahead and I should probably... my Animaniacs podcast, by the way, Animaniacast, by the way.
Oh, how original.
And we have business cards and stuff like that if you want to learn more about our podcast after the show.
Enough plugging.
Plugs. Let's move on to the future of Star Wars, starting with something that's coming up almost like tomorrow, basically. Just within the, in fact, some people have already checked this out because they're already doing previews. This, of course, is Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland and soon to be in Disney World. Because this is audio for a podcast. How many of you, by clapping your hands, will be going to see Galaxy's Edge this summer? Give it up. Only
a few. How many are going to wait until next year like me?
A lot more. I'm going in July. I don't care. And in fact, this is what it looks like with all the cast members they have. That is the only somewhat realistic photo of what it's going to look like with all the people there. Yes. This is no doubt going to be insane. And as you guys probably know, they're limiting people the first few weeks to just 4 hours. And so you wear a wristband, much like the ones we have here. And then after that, you head out the gate. But there's a lot of stuff to see in Galaxy's Edge. One of them, of course, is the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run ride. Hondo Inaka sends you flying the Millennium Falcon, and you actually get to walk on the Falcon and check out the Jajaric table and all that. And there's actually over 200 controls in that cockpit right there. And ooh, each one of you in there actually have to do certain things, and if you don't do it right, well, you could actually crash the Millennium Falcon, apparently. And I think maybe it was in Celebration, but I heard somewhere that as you exit the ride, if you do really well, it looks really nice, but if you don't do well, like, circuits are breaking and
The inside of the ship reflects it.
You can
set it on fire, and then Honda will give you grief afterwards and be like, oh, you wrecked the ship.
So
you could either do really awesome, or you could have it showing up like it did at the end of Solo on Sabarine, where it basically falls apart on the landing platform.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Exactly. So get a whole new radar dish again. Okay. And this, of course, this is another ride that's coming out in later. And so maybe when you other folks who are saying, I'm going to push it off till next year, well, you thought it will be less crowded? Forget it. Because they're holding off this second ride for a few months called Rise of the Resistance. And in this is a trackless ride. You're going to get into a car and move around, and you're going to be aboard a Star Destroyer. And there's apparently 50 animatronic stormtroopers in there. At the end, you face off against Kylo Ren. There's also some AT-ATs looking down and shooting at you and stuff. It's looks really cool, and it's almost like a movie set, really, basically, you're walking in. So exciting stuff right there. Oh, yeah, and like life-size TIE fighters in the hangar and everything. It's going to be insane.
Jeepers creepers.
So you guys are pushing it off for a little bit.
Yes.
Going to
Galaxy's Edge.
Thank you. I call it Star Wars Land. What are you looking forward to the most?
Honestly, just the cast and character interactions, because all the cast members are going to be part of the Star Wars universe, essentially, or this Star Wars universe that they've created. It's going to be much like, you know, Harry Potter world, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, where everyone is actually in character and part of the universe and that kind of thing. So just kind of immersing myself in the whole Star Wars experience is what I'm looking forward to the most.
Like Colonial Williamsburg, but with Star Wars, perhaps, right?
Kyle? Yeah, I think
except more exciting.
Yeah, I hope so.
There's three big things that I'm looking forward to. One is the Millennium Falcon ride, because it sounds really fun, and getting to interact with like a crew and the way you get to fly the ship, and then the way that like the characters after you get off interact with you, depending on how well you did. I think that sounds really fun. I'm also just really looking forward to having a drink in the cantina, because like you guys said, I mean, that just adds to the immersiveness of it, and you feel like you're actually there in the Star Wars world. And then I'm looking forward to blowing a bunch of money and buying some cool stuff, because they've also said that like the merchandise that's going to be there, it's not just like Star Wars action figures and t-shirts and stuff. Like a lot of it is, it looks in universe, and so there's going to be a lot of trinkets and like handmade dolls, and then of course stuff like Jedi holocrons and lightsabers and stuff like that. So
Yeah. Build your own droid. If you want to drop $25,000, you can build your own R2-D2.
Yeah, I'm not spending that much.
And take him home.
$200 for a saber, which is it's like $200. No way. But actually, I saw it, and you can open it up, and you can like put different crystals inside of it, and depending on the crystal that you put in, it makes different sounds, and obviously lights up different. I'm like, maybe $200's not that bad.
It's going to hurt my bank account, but there's going to be some really cool stuff there that I'm looking forward to getting.
Yeah, well, so that is very exciting. Of course, that's just, you know, basically it's next week. It's just in a few days, so be prepared for that. Coming up in a little later than that is, of course, Season 2 of Resistance will be coming. Any fans of the cartoon show Resistance? Few, okay, excellent. I was like, meh, okay, sure. How about it? Resistance taking place right before The Force Awakens, and now is essentially kind of getting into the timeline of The Last Jedi. Kind of just follows a group of people.
They're kind of an offshoot team of spies for the Resistance, and they're trying to track down First Order movements and things like that, and manage to get themselves into trouble. The season ends basically concurrent with The Force Awakens. They see the hologram of the destruction of Hosnian Prime and all that stuff. So season 2 is going to take place concurrent with The Last Jedi and afterwards. So we'll see how that turns out.
I'll be curious to see if it continues to be, because it started off very much a kid's show, like very much like 7 and 8 year olds.
And like then it got like really good at the end.
Yeah, I would say hit the cliff notes, maybe like if you really want to know which episodes, talk to me later, but definitely last 3 or 4,
It definitely picked up towards the end, and if you haven't checked it out, I think it's worth a watch. Don't go into it with the same expectations of like the epic stories that we got in Star Wars, the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, but I think Resistance is a fun addition to the Star Wars canon.
Well, coming up a little, I think probably a little sooner, will be The Mandalorian. So The Mandalorian, of course, is coming up on Disney Plus. And announcer Jason, will you please tell us what the synopsis was of this?
The Mandalorian. After the stories of Jango and Boba Fett, another warrior emerges in the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian is set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the travails of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. For some reason, I sounded like Morgan Freeman, and I did not anticipate that.
I think you should go, after the stories of Jango and Boba Fett. So this is going to be, this is The Mandalorian right here. This is definitely a Wild West kind of series.
Yes.
Lawless, because of course it was right after the Empire and before the rebellion could really start the New Republic. So what do you do? You know, how do you pay for things? How do you know who's in charge?
Nobody in the outer reaches, apparently.
Exactly. So premieres on November 12th this year on Disney Plus. There are 8 episodes, I think, hour long. Is that what they were?
Yes, hour long episodes. Okay. And Disney Plus is the upcoming Disney streaming service that is $6.99
a month.
A month.
Disney and Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah, if you pay it for a year. It's like more expensive if you pay by, you know, the month.
Right.
But it's like it's $7 if you pay for like all year in advance, which I am going to, because why wouldn't I?
Yeah. So Disney Plus is going to be good, and this is going to be on launch day. And I believe they're releasing 1 episode a week, so it's not going to have all 8 episodes at once. So you're going to have to come back every week to catch the next episode,
which would be cool because then people like us can do podcasts.
I was going to say, as Star Wars podcasters, you know, I'm sure you're like, darn.
Yeah, you get to enjoy it a little bit longer. But I think this is going to be something really cool to look forward to. We've just got some images here because the footage that they showed at Star Wars Celebration has not been officially released yet.
Nope.
But if you really want to go online, there's some leaked footage on there. But I mean, just the fact that this is coming from Jon Favreau, who directed Iron Man, and Dave Filoni, who is, of course, the director of Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, and worked directly with George Lucas for years. I mean, just having the two of them tag teaming on this, I think is going to make for some really cool Star Wars stories. And if we know anything from stuff Dave Filoni has done in the past, I think we'll eventually get a lot more elements of the Star Wars universe explored in here other than just a Mandalorian bounty hunter. You know, it's going to probably delve into a lot more interesting characters and storylines along the way that maybe we aren't expecting right now.
Yeah, I think Boba Fett might come into play. Maybe. I don't know. I have hunches. But, you know, obviously.
Is it bad if I say I hope not?
Yeah. But at the other hand, I mean, I would think for the average person that watches this, though, who's not like really into Star Wars, it's like who, oh yeah, that's the guy from the, like, they're going to see that Mandalorian who's just, they're just calling him the Mandalorian at this point.
Yeah, we don't know his name.
Yeah. And so they're going to look at him and go, oh, it's Boba Fett. You know, like, for a casual fan, they might just think that's Boba Fett. I think they need to incorporate him in some ways. But he's not alone. He's actually has a couple other people going with him right there. Gina Carano right there is playing Cara Dune. Some people thought she was playing Sabine from Rebels, but that is not
the case. Because there's obviously such a striking resemblance.
Right, yeah. Like Sabine put on like mass, like twice yeah, her right. body weight or something.
In muscle, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah, and then Carl Weathers is on it as too. So Carl Weathers plays, I believe, a character named Greef Karga. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very Star Wars-y name.
He hires the Mandalorian, I believe, is the story. Yeah. And then Gina, I think, used to work as a soldier.
She's an ex-Rebel shock trooper.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool because, I mean, obviously think of the Rebels as like the good guys and the heroes, and it's going to be interesting to see this person who is a Rebel soldier who, once the war is over, is kind of down on her luck and turns to, you know, the criminal underworld and is not necessarily like all happily ever after like you think the good guys might be. So you get to explore that perspective a little bit more.
Totally. Well, probably not at the launch of Disney Plus, but coming soon, something I know a lot of us are very excited about.
Yeah, any Clone Wars fans in here?
Yes.
When people used to say save the Clone Wars, hashtag save the Clone Wars, I'm like, oh, give it a rest, guys. Come on, it's done. But thank goodness I was wrong. Yes. And the Clone Wars is coming back with one more season. I'm really hoping I know they have so many stories that they haven't finished that I'm hoping that they might be able to squeeze a few more out later. But who knows?
Maybe.
We'll be talking a lot more about this tomorrow, actually. We have another panel. Yes, because we love talking like about Star Wars.
Yeah, we love Clone Wars so much, and we're so excited that it's coming back that we're going to spend a whole separate hour talking about that. So yes. Check that out tomorrow at noon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this will be coming on Disney Plus. It is not going to be available on the release date. They have not given us a release date for it yet. We're guesstimating early 2020. So
yeah,
but
it would make sense to me because you have Rise of Skywalker and then you have nothing. So let's put that in there and get people excited again. But also in the not too distant future, this is, I believe, being developed right now. And I don't know about filmed, but definitely in
pre-production.
Is the Cassian Andor series. And so you have Diego Luna, and then you have help me out. Alan Tudyk
coming back playing K2SO.
So I'm really excited about this series, not only because we got to see so little of them, but K2 is just one of my favorite new characters in Star Wars. Yeah. And the chemistry that these two had. Plus, I mean, Cassian says in Rogue One about all, you know, these horrible things that he had to go, you know, do for
right.
the rebellion. So I'm anticipating this series to be a little darker, perhaps. Who's to say? I don't really know. I mean, I'm just excited to learn more about these characters.
And Spoiler alert, this takes place before Rogue One.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
thank goodness.
And I think also, I believe either like the showrunner or head writer for the series worked on the series The Americans for FX, which is, you know, a really well acclaimed, like spy drama. And so this is definitely going to be like a more gritty look at the rebellion and the years leading up to Rogue One and leading up to just the formation of the rebellion and their early struggles against the Empire. And it's going to be a lot more, like I said, just kind of like nitty gritty and espionage, kind of focus and seeing a different side of the rebellion that we kind of saw a little bit of in Rogue One, but it's not going to be all, you know, space battles and action adventure like we're used to from Star Wars. It's going to be a little bit of a different look. So I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, also, so, like you said, more K2SO is never a bad thing.
Exactly.
So is Cassian going to be the Star Wars James Bond?
That would be awesome,
maybe,
wouldn't it?
You
know, he's such a cool guy. I just like him. Well, as for upcoming movies, obviously we have The Rise of Skywalker.
Which
and we're
we'll
going
talk
to
about in more in-depth in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. That'll be the bulk of this panel. We're talking about everything else first.
And yes, we're going to try to have as much time for questions and theory, you know, help theorize stuff and everything with you guys as well towards the end of the panel as well. But the only other, when it comes to actual movies other than The Rise of Skywalker, is really coming up from these two guys right here, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. Of course, they are guys behind Game of Thrones.
Stop it. We're not getting into season 8.
And I have no stake in that at all because I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Me neither.
Sorry. I got that. And yet I still don't watch the show. No.
I got it. I don't care.
So after Rise of Skywalker, there's actually going to be a pause, which I know for a lot of Star Wars fans like me, where I'm used to like 3 years between each film and then having like 3 years to really talk with your friends and digest, you know, what you've seen and all that. It's not going to be too bad for me. The first film from these guys is set to come out, in 2022.
Yes.
And then there'll be another film in 2024 and then in 2026. They are, you know, possibly going to be in thousands of years before. Nobody really knows anything about
it. We don't know what yeah. these – it's supposed to be a trilogy.
Yes.
But it's not going to be related.
They actually haven't announced it as a trilogy. They said they were working on a series.
Of films.
So, but it's not going to be related to the numbered episodes or anything like that. It's going to be separate from the saga films. They're going to be related. But we have no idea what the topic is, if it's, you know, if it's Knights of the Old Republic or something completely else. We have no clue.
Yeah.
So,
one of the reasons they're doing, they're having this pause is not only because they jumped the gun and re-released Solo 6 months after Last Jedi, which was so stupid. They should have put it in December. But anyway, because of that underperformance of Solo, they kind of had to relook at how they were doing these films. So now they're putting it basically 2 years, starting in 2019, it'll be a 2 years between each film, which I think is good. But they're also doing, since Disney owns everything now, it'll be Star Wars and then Avatar, and then Star Wars, and Avatar, and a Star Wars, and Avatars. There's going to be a total of 5 Avatar films and by the end of 2027. Yeah, they're coming out with that many sequels. I know.
And everyone here says, why?
Yeah. Priorities? Okay, well, whatever.
But they're going to be alternating.
Plus an Indiana
years.
Jones 5 mixed into the... there too
somewhere
which I'm kind of curious about, so that'll be interesting. And in case you're wondering, a lot of people are saying, well, what about the Rian Johnson films? And Rian Johnson has been apparently, like, Kathleen Kennedy said that Rian Johnson was working with these two on kind of getting going with their
project. Which makes me think that they possibly could have changed plans and that maybe Rian Johnson is directing whatever these guys are writing and producing, or that maybe just their two separate trilogies or series or whatever take place within the same time period, or they're going to be maybe tangential stories that are kind of related to each other. So, we don't know what either of them are working on or exactly how closely related they are, but they've had meetings together at least.
Yeah, and Rian Johnson has said on Twitter recently that he is still working on his Star Wars project. My only guess is that it still might be films, but Disney Plus is now this thing where they can release TV shows or even just movies themselves. Like,
right.
They're doing a live action Lady and the Tramp movie and they're putting it right to Disney Plus.
Really?
Yes, really. Of course they are.
Okay.
Of course they are.
Did not see that one coming.
Well, yeah, I'll get into more copyright stuff later with you guys later. So they can do a lot of stuff with Disney Plus now because of this. So I think I would not be surprised if Rian Johnson's still making a movie, but maybe they are making it like kind of a lower scale and maybe it is something that would be more appropriate for Disney Plus. I don't know.
Who knows? Again, we have confirmation that these projects are happening in the future.
Yeah.
They will not give us any information on it whatsoever, though. So.
Which makes sense for now, because they're focused on The Mandalorian in Episode 9, so we'll just have to wait and see as this stuff develops. Like we said, the first one isn't coming out till 2022, so we're going to have a 3-year gap of slowly getting more information about all this stuff.
When it comes to rumors, well, this is the rumor that will not die.
Yes.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was an Obi-Wan Kenobi film. No, it's an Obi-Wan Kenobi trilogy. No, it's
an Obi-Wan Kenobi series on Disney Plus.
And the rumors were that there was going to be, that the next, like, a Star Wars story spinoff film was going to be an Obi-Wan movie after Solo. And that with the disappointing performance of Solo, they went back to the drawing board, kind of scrapped that idea for a film, and that now it may be in development as a live action series for Disney Plus. And I think Bob Iger did say recently, like in a conference call or something, that there possibly will be, we know we've got The Mandalorian coming this year, Cassian Andor coming next year, and he said there probably will be at least one more live action series coming to Disney Plus before the next film in 2022.
And so all the nerds online went, it's Obi-Wan!
Yeah. Or Boba Fett, which I've also heard as well.
Yes.
See, so, I don't think they're going to do Boba Fett, though, when they've got The Mandalorian.
And that's the thing. And I'm with you on that one. And again, I'm just repeating rumors that have just, again, they bubble up. As soon as one happens, another one happens. And speaking of another one that happened was just a couple days ago, and that is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Because Kathleen Kennedy has said that they're looking to do something in that era. I don't think she didn't necessarily say, yeah, we're going to do a Knights of the Old Republic thing, but we're going to probably do something in that time period. Yeah.
Right, right. And so she said that, and then we've got the rumor from BuzzFeed. If you can believe BuzzFeed.
Half of what they say happens to be true sometimes.
Half of what they say happens to be true sometimes.
Since when are they a credible source for Star Wars news? This just came out of the blue. Like, they're not something.
They're not the Hollywood Reporter, but they're not as bad as some other people. So, right. I'll give them that.
So, but now there's the whole theory that this is going to be a new project of some sort, and of course, everyone's speculating it's movies, or it's going to be a Disney Plus thing, or who knows. So we're probably going to get something Knights of the Old Republic related. Whether or not it's based on any of the other material that's out there or not remains to be seen. It could just be taking place in that era, and it's a totally new story.
And I, for one, am super excited regardless, because I love the Knights of the Old Republic games. I love that whole era of Star Wars lore. I actually think it would kind of be cool if they did something just set in that time period and did kind of their own interpretation of it rather than trying to do a direct adaptation of the video game. Because for those of you that have played it, I mean, just the way that certain things play out and the story of Darth Revan and whatnot, I'm not sure how well that would directly translate to a film series, but just getting some of that lore on screen and, you know, seeing new stories and new characters, but in that time period and just seeing the way that events unfolded 3,000 years before Darth Vader, I think would be really cool. So I'm hoping these rumors turn out to be true. And it seems like, again, there's some substance to it because Kathleen Kennedy did say they're working on something in that era. So
and Lucasfilm, if you're hiring, I know, Kyle, you have a Darth Revan mask, right?
I mean, I do.
So, I mean, he's available.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. He'll be the tallest Darth Revan you've ever seen, but he'll do it.
Right.
Well, let's go ahead and merge over to
why you're really here today.
Yes, exactly. Let's talk about Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker, and let's start with the trailer.
And generations live in you now. But this is your fight.
Dun, dun, dun.
Woo!
All right. So.
We don't have time to play today.
Stop. All right. Click here for more. So, ladies and gentlemen, obviously we are extremely excited about Star Wars Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker, and let's get right into it. This is coming out December 20th of this year. In fact, if J.J. Abrams, as you guys all know, was brought on, you replaced Colin Trevorrow, and think about this for a moment. If Colin Trevorrow hadn't been relieved of his duties for whatever reason, we would be watching Episode 9 right now, this weekend, because it originally was scheduled to come out this weekend.
Yeah.
So, dun-dun-dun. Anyway, I'm glad that it got pushed off, however, because I think J.J. will hopefully, a lot like Kylo says, finish what he started, you know? Like,
yeah,
this is
right.
Going to be something that you got to put it all together now.
And right in time for our panel, Vanity Fair decided to give us a whole bunch of new images.
Yeah.
This Thank came out you,
like
2 days
ago, and we're like, oh, we'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know who to talk to. So right here, of course, we have Kylo and Rey, and this is not on Jakku or Tatooine, as we thought it might have been when we saw the trailer, but it appears to be the planet Passana.
That's what they say.
What do you need in a star? You need a new desert planet. That's
in Star Wars, yes.
You already have one, two, three, at least three of them I can think of the top
four
of my
Four if
head.
You count Jeddah.
That's right. I was already counting Jeddah. I don't know. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Count up the deserts. So this is a new one, and there are so many great photos in here to talk about and to discuss. And the first one that really came to me was these folks right here.
My boys.
The Knights of Ren. We've heard about these folks, and they are finally making an appearance on screen other than just in a vision.
Yes, and I knew as soon as J.J. said it was announced to be directing, I'm like, okay, well, Knights of Ren are coming back. Because, I mean, he's already said, oh, a Star Wars spinoff I'd really like to see would be the Knights of Ren movie. And I think that would be really interesting. So obviously he has ideas for these guys right here.
Right.
And although they, now that we have a first relatively good look at most of them right here, some of them look kind of, I think they kind of look ridiculous in a cool way. I mean, one of them has a gun on his arm, like it looks like a little action figure kind of toy, you know, like you would package in with the Hasbro stuff, like just for the kids. So they're definitely going to make cool toys. And in fact, some people, even the little axe that's standing up right there is actually, if it's not the same one, it's so similar in Solo. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
it was in Dryden Voss's office,
Dryden
right?
Voss has it. It's part of his like suit of Mandalorian armor that's standing up in the background. So just a nice little Easter egg there. Like, I don't think it's going to play a significant role in the movie as far as like, oh, here's the history of this axe.
It'll make a great comic book
about
how they
got that'll eventually end up in a short story or a comic or something
like
that, probably. But I'm just really excited to get to see these guys that have been teased for so long. I mean, in The Force Awakens, Snoke says that Kylo is the master of the Knights of Ren, and we see them real quickly in that Force vision that Rey has, and then they're completely absent in The Last Jedi, and the whole time I've been wanting to know, like, who are these guys? Where are they? What are they up to? What's their role in the story going to be? So I'm glad that they're going to be playing a much larger part in Episode 9.
And by much larger, we mean actually there.
Yeah.
Do something.
We would assume. I mean, this could be another Force vision. I don't know.
I'm not going to get my hopes up too much about these guys, because whenever I do, it's like Captain Phasma all over again. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. What are they going to do? They don't do anything. Okay. So I'm hoping they do a cool thing, but you know, they use their weapon in a cool way. And there you go. We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong. But we also have this other really cool character. This is Felicity. Kerry Russell is actually in this. So it says, Kerry Russell as the masked scoundrel Zori Bliss, seen in the thieves' quarter of the snow-dusted world Kijimi.
Ooh.
And she kind of looks like, to me, like she put Slave One on her head, like the toy. It's a cool looking mask, though. It's a cool looking costume. I can't wait to see. It's just like, has cosplay written all over it. I mean, yeah, so do the Knights of Ren. I can't wait for next year to see like a group of guys like just dressed up as the Knights of Ren walking through the con. I think it's going to look so cool. But this is definitely cool. Again, we don't know nothing really about it. Other than Scoundrel, okay, maybe Bounty Hunter, perhaps.
Scoundrel. I mean, I no idea, and I didn't really. She's not the character I'm excited about in this movie.
No.
So,
but she looks cool.
Yes.
So that's cool.
She definitely looks cool. Looks like she's going to be a cool new addition to kind of the rogues gallery in Star Wars of like the scoundrels and the scum and villainy. But then one other thing about the planet that she's on, we don't know if this relates to her character at all, but in the trailer, there's a shot of this snow-covered world that she's apparently on, and there's a ship flying towards it, and people have been comparing screenshots, and the ship that we see in that quick shot in the trailer looks an awful lot like the one that Rey sees taking off in her vision in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced.
I've taken the time to like look at the two ships closely, and I'm like, they look similar, but I don't think they're the same.
See, I think they're not 100% the same, but they look too similar to not be, in my opinion. But, and we've also heard rumors, and even from J.J. Abrams himself, saying that, like, Rey's parentage will play possibly a bigger role in this movie. We might find out that there's more to that story than we thought just based on The Last Jedi, so we'll see.
It's definitely possible. I mean, when the guy who tells you who your parents, I mean, personally, I believe Kylo, but when the guy who tells you about your parents is also negging you so much, to get you to join him, then it's like, can you really trust what he's saying also? So.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to put Obi-Wan in this movie and be like, well, what I meant was from a certain point of view.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were that great, but, you know.
I said junk dealers, I meant Jedi, but like they're junk to me because I hate them all.
Yeah. We have a new bad guy as well. And First Order leaders, General Hux. Of course, we all know General Hugs right there. And Allegiant General Pride, played by Richard Grant, on the bridge of Kylo Ren's destroyer. And if I were to guess, I'm going to guess that General Pride right there, Richard Grant, has to – maybe he's an old Imperial guy perhaps, right? I mean
– And he's obviously going to be a very shy person from his name. He's going to be really mellow, right?
Yeah.
No. General Pride. He's going to be loud and obnoxious.
It was such a great Star Wars name right there. It's like,
what does this mean? Who is he? What is his primary character trait? Yeah. I don't know. Let's make it his name.
But one thing that I'm excited about, too, in regards to those two, is that in this article in Vanity Fair, they said that we are going to learn more about the origins of the First Order in this movie as well.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of one of my complaints with like The Force Awakens and with the sequel trilogy as a whole so far, is they kind of throw us into this conflict between the Resistance and the First Order without really setting up like how these powers came to be and why they're fighting and why the First Order rose up. I mean, we get that they're like the remnants of the Empire.
Right. And especially, I think that's got to come because, I mean, we'll just talk briefly about the laugh at the end of the trailer right there with Palpatine. Palpatine's going to play some sort of role in this, and to have that kind of connection with the Empire right there with perhaps this character to explain some of that, I think it might be a way to do it. I just really like this shot. Finn and new ally Janna, atop Hardy Orbax, lead the charge against the mechanized forces of the First Order. And so, again, we're kind of dealing, you know, third movie in a trilogy, got to have, you know, arrows against mechanized stuff again, right?
Yep. So we're going to revisit the whole Ewoks versus the Empire, or Gungans versus the battle droids, the quote-unquote primitive technology against the mechanized might of the other side. We're going to do that again in Star Wars, which, since we have the whole rhyming beats thing going with Star Wars, should be expected.
These things look so cool.
They do look really cool. I think for anybody that, you know, isn't maybe a huge fan of the Empire getting defeated by Ewoks in Return of the Jedi, I think these at least look like they make for some decent war beasts. They're not like cute and cuddly.
Yeah.
And to see, I mean, it's still going to be kind of weird seeing people charging in on horseback against tanks and AT-ATs and stuff. But, I'm interested to see how this battle plays out.
Well, you know, and they're on this kind of grassy planet. They're perhaps on that same grassy area that we're seeing the remnants of, who knows if it's the Death Star 2, who knows if it's whatever, it might be Death Star 3 or 2, 1.5 that didn't work out and it fell in the ocean.
I don't know.
But whatever it is, you know, people are thinking, okay, is that Endor? Is that the forest moon of Endor, or is it just another moon of Endor?
It certainly doesn't look very foresty.
Yeah. No. There are horse-like creatures in the Endor movies. So maybe these are like little horse. I'm just trying to blend
together. We're going to bring the Ewok movies into
little
this?
Parts of it.
Okay.
Little parts.
Okay.
There are blurgs in there's blurgs in the Clone Wars series, and those were in the Ewok film. So I'm just saying.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, it happens.
They were also in the comics first.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. So anyway, we're looking for those horses. But of course, one of the big fights we're all looking forward is Kylo Ren and Rey. This is them battling in a stormy confrontation. Their force connection, what Driver calls the maybe bond, will turn out to run even deeper than previously revealed. So it's hard to truly tell what's going on. It's a lot of storm, lots of, it looks like they're on some machines too. It's
waves, yeah. Crashing.
Probably at least one or two confrontations between these two.
And based on the fact that we see the Death Star wreckage in the trailer submerged in water, I think they could be on part of the Death Star wreckage. Although if you look at kind of the surface they're on, it also looks like it might be the top of the Millennium Falcon, which maybe could be transporting them there. But they released a video, like a little behind the scenes reel along with these photos on Vanity Fair's like YouTube channel. And you can see in one of the shots, Daisy Ridley's got a lightsaber and there's like a big wave crashing over the set that she's on. So, seeing these two together in some kind of confrontation, like on a ship or on wreckage where there's just rain and storms and stuff, is going to be, really cool and something new visually.
See,
we'll get to this, you know, a little bit later, but one thing we have to remember is that these are all Vanity Fair images.
Yes.
And so these are likely very staged and could have nothing to do with the actual movie itself. Yeah. So, but we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Although, Kyle, you did remind me just with the whole Death Star and the water and everything, that actually was a concept that was initially they were thinking about doing in The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. where the key to the Jedi, in other words, the little map, little piece that they put in BB-8, was initially going to be found in the Emperor's throne room, which was found at the bottom of the ocean because the Death Star crashed into the ocean. So water, Death Star, you know, Kylo wanting to get there for whatever reason to find something that the Emperor perhaps might have, I don't know, might come into play. So yeah. It might be.
And I think that's all going to tie into why the Emperor is in the movie as well.
Yeah.
In some fashion.
Yeah, I think probably the leading speculation is that whatever or wherever he's going to show up in the movie, it's going to be tied to that Death Star wreckage somehow, whether that's where they confront him or they find a recording or a holocron or his spirit is still haunting there or something. But
here's another quote photo. I mean, anyone else happen to see Billy Dee this afternoon at his panel right there? That was so much fun. I love Billy Dee. But Billy Dee's making his return, but we also have a couple new robots. Dio is right there. He's kind of like the cheaper version of BB-8. He's kind of looking over Poe's shoulder right there.
Yeah, it looks like a lampshade.
Yeah, he looks like the Pixar lamp.
Yeah.
Got a wheel.
Yeah. So you know, BB-8 has a little friend, so that's, or maybe they don't like each other. I don't know, but they hang out together at least. We also have some cool new aliens. I say cool. I mean, I still miss Rodians. I think that they have been I just like Rodians a lot.
All the Twi'leks disappeared with the Death Star.
I know.
Yeah.
And these look kind of cool. To me, it's like, these are, Aki, who are the natives of Pisana. So to me, it's just like, I really wish they could have done some of the original trilogy aliens, but these ones still look better. I think they look better than, actually, one of the only things I really didn't like about The Last Jedi was the alien designs. that was the only thing I really kind of had, gripes with was they looked like too much like Doctor Who. And we were talking about they even look kind of like Doctor Who-ish here as well, but, whatever.
There you go. I mean, they're all still aliens, but I do. With Star Wars, you always have to expect to see new aliens every time you get a movie, but it would be nice to have some of the old familiar species interspersed.
With just a mix of old and new.
Yeah.
So that's been one of my biggest complaints about the sequel trilogy in general. So I just want more of the old aliens. Anyway.
Well, The photo, however,
speaking
that,
of old aliens,
the photo that I was looking at when I saw it, I was like, this is now the backdrop to my phone, was this, however. Luke with R2, which I just love Luke and R2 together, in a fiery thing. So initially you kind of look at this, you think of like, what, his Jedi temple burning down. Mm-hmm. But people were kind of quick to mention how, well, doesn't look like he does in the Force Awakens flashback. His hair is gray and...
Yeah. Well, he looks like he does in the Force Awakens. Like, that's his same look and outfit and everything from, like, when Rey goes to find him. So I don't think this is going to be
right.
Part
I'm talking
flashback.
More like the flashback of him going in the...
Oh, in the Last Jedi.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, this is present Luke. This is flashback Luke.
And so, again, is this... When we're talking about the rise of Skywalker, this could mean a lot of different things.
Yes. The rise of Skywalker. What does that mean? Which one? Is it even a person? You know, there's been a million theories for what the title means, and we're not going to know until we actually see the movie.
Right. Yeah. Some people think Luke is coming back. Some people think we're going to find out that Rey is actually a Skywalker. Some people think that Skywalker is going to become a title
or
of,
it could
like,
be
this peacekeeper that, you know, kind of keeps the balance between the light and the dark, and that
it could
it's going
to refer to Kylo because, you know, Kylo's a, you know, of the, that line.
Well,
so.
When it comes down to it, Star Wars is always, it has to be a redemption story for me anyway. I mean, Kylo, as horrible as he's done, as many horrible things as he's done, well, I hate to tell you, but Anakin did a lot more than just kill his dad. I mean, he did a lot of other things. So, for him to be redeemed, I mean, I would hope that Kylo would get some redemption in this too.
Well, the thing is I there's definitely the story to be had where Kylo gets redeemed. The problem is every time he's offered it, Kylo kind of just says no thanks.
That's
but,
true.
So, you know, I just don't know how far they're going to go with it because Kylo doesn't seem to want to be redeemed, at least not up to this point, even though he's, you know, tormented and torn apart by it all.
But if Kylo is just going to be straight up bad guy in this movie, we know Palpatine's coming back somehow. So I think that would kind of undercut Kylo as a villain a little bit because he's going to be playing second fiddle to freaking Emperor Palpatine coming back after all these years. So I think there's going to be more to Kylo's storyline in this movie and more to his connection with Rey, like we talked about, rather than him just being like, oh, I'm evil now, and they just have to kill him and be done with it.
Well, this photo definitely, I mean, it looks awesome. It's just not, I mean, there's no force effect for Luke. We could think like, okay, is he at a new location where things are burning? Is what's going on? But then again, like we said before, this could all be staged. And I remember when I first saw the Vanity Fair pictures, when I was looking for Phantom Menace before that was coming out, I was like, oh my gosh, look at this awesome fight between Obi-Wan and Darth Maul on Tatooine. This is going to be so cool. Oh, wait, they didn't do that at all. They just wanted to do a quick shot because they were bored, and Annie Leibovitz just said, okay, I'll shoot these guys having fun in the desert. So just because we see Luke right there like that doesn't necessarily mean at all that we're going to see that.
Right. I'm taking that one with a huge grain of salt.
Yeah.
The fact that we see him in the flesh, it's like, I don't know if just because of this magazine picture that means that's what we're going to see in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, Force Ghost Luke is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Yeah. We know Mark Hamill is going to be in the movie. We just don't know how exactly.
Well, a few other quick things I want to just show for different things coming up. Rise of Skywalker, the art of the Rise of Skywalker, I should say, is coming out soon.
And that's an amazing cover.
Yes. I love this cover right here. And there has been some rumors of the fights that Kylo and Rey have been different than normal. We've already seen them essentially join each other from
across the galaxy,
right, to be able to essentially be in the same room, even though they're not. So it could be possible that we're going to be seeing fights that are, they're together, but they're not together. And again, this kind of like idea of like Rebels, Star Wars Rebels did this amazing episode.
The World Between Worlds.
Yeah, World Between Worlds, where you're kind of like in this in-between area of the Force. So perhaps that's what some of this, and honestly, that would kind of make sense if they did something like that with this movie. JJ has talked about trying to wrap up 9 films into this one conclusion. That's an enormously big task.
Right.
So perhaps something like that might be able to help them. I don't know. It's
who knows? There's, you know, the thing about rumors, Star Wars rumors, is everyone's got a theory. And if you have a blog, you can call your theory a rumor and have it spread like wildfire. So that, you know, take all of these rumors that we are presenting you with a grain of salt, because 90% of them won't be even close.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's what makes it fun. And, you know, we even had this little cool leaked poster before the trailer. People thought, oh, that's fake. And yet we look at now the trailer and we look at all of these Vanity Fair pictures and we're like, a lot of that stuff we see. So
everything in there's been confirmed except for Chewie or 3PO holding Chewie's bowcaster, which when I saw that, I was just like,
well, and these red stormtroopers at the bottom. The red troopers at the bottom too are not confirmed, but and we have new TIE fighters too. So that have a little triangle wings on them, kind of look like interceptors. So there's just a few little glimpses of things. Again, this is a poster that you would most likely see in Walmart, like in the toy section. This is not like an official like it's not the theatrical poster. This is like the posters that you buy for $5 probably that leaked.
Yeah.
So
and Mark Hamill said that he thought it looked fake. So who knows?
We don't even know if this is legit or not.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about one little thing right here. So we talked about the big bad guy. You're talking about like how do we redeem Kylo? How do we get him back? Well, obviously, you know, JJ was talking about in Star Wars Celebration a greater evil. And at the time when he said that before the trailer, I was like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Greater evil. What
after
does that
the
mean?
Trailer.
What does that mean?
Oh, greater evil. I see. I'll leave you guys with one little thing that, of course, JJ and Kathleen Kennedy, I believe you've even said recently that this was their initial plan from the beginning. These Star Wars sequels, they haven't been planned, I don't think. I think even they've admitted it a few times that they kind of just...
Some of the story beats between the films weren't part of the overall design.
But that's necessarily... I mean, people look at that and they go, oh, that's horrible. But the original trilogy, they didn't know what they were doing either.
Nope. Yeah.
Luke and Leia were not brother and sister.
Initially.
The Return of the Jedi was going to have two Death Stars at one point, plus Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda were going to come back to physical form at the end and fight Darth Vader and the Emperor together with Luke. There was weird stuff going on in some of these drafts. And so Lucas, it was a constant, you know, merging of things. So it's not like a horrible thing.
No, and it's not an unusual thing for Star Wars to be completely revamping in the middle of the trilogy.
But if that little thing right there with the Emperor, if that was always in play, when Kylo is talking to Darth Vader's helmet right there of grandfather, I'm going to finish what you started. That could mean something about the Emperor. Does he know about the Emperor possibly existing? Or my own personal theory is that the ghost of Anakin tells him to finish what he started, and Kylo doesn't really know what that means. Because and he just says, oh, he means get all the Jedi and be bad. But really, Anakin's trying to tell him, no, Palpatine's still out there, dum-dum. Finish what I started.
I like it.
Thank you for applying for me.
Yeah! Whoa!
Speaking of which,
where did he come from?
Oh, great. He's back. See, you can't keep a good Sith down.
You just can't keep a good Sith down. So, make way. What are we making way for?
Darth Vader. Oh, my gosh. Emperor, we were just talking about how excited we were about you being in the next film.
Yes. Yes. So my wondering about Palpatine coming back is, you know, is this going to be a hologram? Is this going to be him actually coming back to corporeal form? My personal fun theory is that he's going to be a literal phantom menace. Anyway, but yeah, so I think we're going to have some sort of force apparition going on. I don't think corporeal Palpatine is something the galaxy can handle again.
But you never know, because did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? Maybe Palpatine actually did find the final piece and find that path to immortality and actually did find a way to come back. But again, maybe
that would be terrifying.
It would be. But maybe he's just a force spirit. Maybe it's, again, a holocron that he left behind, or there's some kind of ancient Sith magic at play, or whatever it may be.
There were a lot of blue glowy things that came out when he hit the Death Star.
Yes,
so
true. Force storm of some
who
sort.
Who knows? And I do know a few things, but I'm not going to share it out loud because I listen to all the spoilers. So if you really want to know some spoilery things, talk to me after the panel.
Joey knows stuff that we're avoiding. I don't even know
everything.
What he's talking about. I want to be surprised with you guys.
Interesting, but I don't tell them. But if you want to talk to me later, I'll talk to you later about it. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for questions. Once again, before we only have about 9 minutes for questions, if you enjoyed our lovely panel,
press the like button, subscribe, and share.
Yeah.
Please feel free to, if you have the Phoenix Fan Fusion app, you can give us 5 stars, and that way they know to keep letting us come back here. But goodbye, Darth Vader and troopers. We love you. They're awesome. Questions. Anybody who has questions, comments, theories? Yes, sir.
This is going to be the last film of the Skywalker saga. Episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. So this is going to be the last of that story. The other films coming out afterwards will not deal with this story itself.
Never say never.
And various people involved in the movie, the actors and whatnot, have like not even ruled out the possibility of maybe years down the line coming back and telling more stories about Rey and Poe and characters like that who may continue on after this story. But this is going to wrap up the Skywalker saga as a 9-movie arc.
Yeah. I'd like to see Rey in, 10, 20 years. They might do more with Rey's training. However, at the same time, I mean, Luke got a little bit of training in Empire. I mean, not that we saw, right?
Right.
But then when he came back in Return of the Jedi, he was just like, well, I'm a Jedi.
Right.
Did it all behind the scenes. You didn't see it.
We do hear that the dialogue in the trailer where Luke is talking to Rey and says, we've passed on all we know and 1,000 generations live in Yuna. So I don't know if we'll see her training at all, but I think we'll at least get some explanation of how far her training has progressed in between the time of The Last Jedi.
We'll show her with the Jedi books that she took, and she's just like, done.
Yeah, and I think that also is definitely something they could. It's definitely something they could explore in books and stuff in between the two movies as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Ray Park gave her a Snickers.
Dear God, I hope so.
I really hope so.
Let me get more.
You can't bring him back in Solo for like a 30-second cameo, but then not only bring him back as a cameo, but like reveal that he's the head of this crime organization that we've never heard of, and then never go into that story again. So that's something that I would love to see. I don't know if we'll see another Solo film. Just because the last one didn't do as well as they hoped.
Which is a crying shame, and all of you should see Solo, because if you're not, you're dead to me.
And here's the thing. I wouldn't really want to see Maul in another Solo movie anyways, because I don't really want to see him and Han cross paths, because Han doesn't believe in the Force. Like, Obi-Wan and Luke are like the first Force users that he's come across. At least
but we got Kira and Maul now working together. That would be a fascinating story.
Even like a comic or something, but definitely like a live action series.
Disney Plus is the new wild card.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many possibilities of stuff that they could do, but that's definitely something I would love to see.
All right, you, sir.
So you guys mentioned earlier about possibility of like some form of live action Old Republic time frame.
Yes, love the Revan shirt, by the way.
Thank you. and that's my big issue with the idea. When Disney first started taking things over, I was excited. I was hoping for some form of Revan thing. Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of most of the things that Disney's been doing. And so my question is, piggybacks off what you said about how the Old Republic video games don't necessarily make for a good movie, but they've also got the books and whatnot. Are you worried about Disney jacking up Revan personally?
I don't think so, because I think if they do something different from the games, I mean, I know it'll be canon, but it's like you can always go back and play the games if that's what you prefer and if you like that better than what they do, I mean, it's not going to erase that. Like, that's why they have the Legends canon and that stuff still exists. But that's also why I think it would be cool to have them tell a separate story. And maybe even like reference the stuff in the movies or have Revan be a character that's around during that time period, but maybe not the main character of the movie. So they kind of have their own room to play and explore with stuff without maybe, you know, upsetting fans that wanted things a particular way, you know, if they stuck more closely to the video game story.
Like going into the Old Republic video game time frame?
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, we say the Old Republic, and that's like anything prior to 2,000 years before the Phantom Menace. So who knows what that could be.
I used to be a big fan of the comic book series of like the Jedi. What was that Dark Horse series that came out in the late 90s or something?
It was the Old Republic. Yeah.
See, that's what I think when I hear that. I don't think of the comic book. I just think of that general time period. So, okay.
So do you guys worry about all the loose ends in Star Wars actually being tied up and it coming to an end, or do you think that some things are going to be left unsaid, like season 8 of Game of Thrones?
Well, if I could address that for a second, because Game of Thrones, they had so much stuff going on by the time that, because like season 5 or 6 or whatever is like where they caught up to the books, and then it's like, okay, now we have no source material to work from, and we have to figure out how to end this thing on our own. With Star Wars, I think The Last Jedi tied up a lot of loose ends. Like, I think episode 9 is going to be kind of a fresh slate. I mean, obviously we have stuff between Rey and Kylo and the First Order and the Resistance. But like after The Force Awakens, I had a ton of unanswered questions that I was like, I can't wait to see The Last Jedi and find out what happens next. After The Last Jedi, I was like, I don't really have a lot of unanswered questions aside from just seeing like, okay, what's the next chapter of the story? So I'm not really worried about that.
And to, you know, to avoid the Game of Thrones reference, because I didn't see it, I'm not too worried about stuff being unresolved in Star Wars, because there's always something that's not resolved in Star Wars. The big major points will be, but some of the ancillary things like who is Snoke, that's not going to get answered. I can tell you that
Darth Plagueis.
And I don't care. Don't you dare bring up the Darth Plagueis theory again.
With Palpatine coming back, if we find out he's been pulling the strings all along, we may find out who Snoke was and what Palpatine's plans were for him. And
I hate the Plagueis theory so much.
Did I say Plagueis?
He did. All right, no, but we're not going to find out really who Snoke is, I don't think. But like, some of this ancillary material, they're going to answer that in other forms. But as far as the major storylines, we're going to get that resolved, but that's about it.
And the other thing too, because Star Wars is so expansive in terms of like books and comics and video games and stuff, like we knew when Game of Thrones was over, like it's over. But with Star Wars, if there are unanswered questions from episode 9, we could still get those answered in comic books or novels or stuff like that that's going to keep expanding.
Star Wars will never end.
Never.
Yeah. Not if Disney
I'll
has their
us
say.
All. You, sir, you've had your hand up for a while. I think Dave Filoni's basically said no.
Yeah, as far as I know, Rebels, he ended the story. He's like, that's what I want to tell.
Although he did release some art of Sabine and Ahsoka kind of going out. They still have this idea of looking for Ezra, right? So that's a tale that still needs to be told.
But it doesn't have to be in Rebels.
That won't be Star Wars Rebels. Like Star Wars Rebels, they got to end it the way they wanted to end it. I mean, the reason they're doing another season of Clone Wars is because it got abruptly canceled and they still had more stories left
to tell. They had 8 seasons worth of the Clone Wars that planned.
Yeah.
And they only got 5 of them on TV.
Yeah. So with Rebels, it definitely left room to continue the story, but I don't, you know, we're not going to get, oh, here's Star Wars Rebels season 5 that nobody was expecting. I think that'll be a different story.
Well, we're going to have to call it right there. Thank you so much, everybody, for being such a wonderful audience.
If you want to talk to us, we'll be hanging around. Feel free to come up, grab business cards and stuff if you want to follow us after this.